Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for steadfast love endures forever. He runs the Old Testament reading for you this morning.
Here we have from Mark, looking at that first Palm Sunday. When they were approaching Jerusalem at Bethpage and Bethany near the Mount of Olives, he sent two of his disciples and said to them, "Go into the village ahead of you, and immediately as you enter it, you will find there a colt that has never been ridden. Untie it and bring it. If anyone says to you, 'Why are you doing this?' just say this, 'The Lord needs it, and will send it back here immediately.'" So they went away and found a colt tied near a door outside in the street. And as they were untying it, some of the bystanders said to them, "What are you doing untying the colt?" And they told them what Jesus had said, and they allowed them to take it. Then they brought the colt to Jesus and threw their cloaks on it, and he sat on it. Many people spread their cloaks on the road, and others spread leafy branches that they had cut in the fields. Then those who went ahead and those who followed were shouting, "Hosanna! Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the coming kingdom of our ancestor David. Hosanna in the highest heaven." Then he entered Jerusalem and went into the temple. And when he had looked around at everything, as it was already late, he went out to Bethany with the 12. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. How many of you have an iPhone with you right now? Raise your hand. I think we're going to do something this morning that perhaps has never been done in the history of this church. If you look at your bulletin, the back page, you will see a little square. That is a QR code. Have any of you ever used a QR code before? I think by now, many of us have. In case you've never used a QR code, and you'd like to use a QR code, and you have an iPhone with you, take out your iPhone and turn on your camera function. So find your camera, and now take your camera and just frame that QR code with your camera, and you'll notice a little yellow circle will show up underneath it. If you press that little yellow circle, it will instantly take you to our website, our church website. Do you see it? So there's the QR code. I'm getting the little box underneath it, and there's our website. A QR code. How many of you have used a QR code before? Okay. So for some of you, I'm preaching to the choir, but a QR code was invented in the early 1990s and is used to instantly identify something. Could be a church. It could be a restaurant. I've seen QR codes at museums. If you use the QR code, it will tell you what you're seeing in the painting. Or if you're even at a zoo and you use the QR code, it will instantly explain what's happening with what you're seeing, what kind of animals, where they came from, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So QR codes are ways of instantly identifying something. Now, so this was around in the early 1900s, but they became really popular right around 2020. Remember what was happening in 2020? The pandemic. So you go into a restaurant. Remember, we don't want to touch anything during the pandemic. So you go into the restaurant, and on the menu, there's a QR code. And if you use your QR code and pressed it, you would have the menu now on your phone, so you don't have to touch the menu. So you can see why this would have become very popular during the pandemic. And so the popularity of QR codes really exploded at that time. QR codes are used to identify things or circumstances that are around us. Don't you wish we had a QR code when we were confused about something? Just get out your phone and use the QR. Oh, I see what's going on here. I think we could use that QR code at times when we read scripture. I could. For example, in Psalm 118, what's going on in this psalm anyway? Who are the people involved? Who wrote it? Because we don't know who wrote it. There's no superscription. In many of the psalms, it says, a psalm of David, so we know who wrote it. But in a lot of our psalms, we don't know who wrote it. And this is one of those examples. We don't know who wrote this psalm. So we don't know what the circumstances were when the psalm was written. I just wish I had a QR code on Psalm 118. I could press it. Oh, that's what's happening here. But even though we don't have a QR code, we can investigate and understand what is happening in this psalm. Just by looking at the words, some things become very evident to us. How does the psalm start out? Whoever wrote this psalm is really happy, is really thankful. It is a thanksgiving psalm. Notice how it starts out with words of thanksgiving. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His steadfast love endures forever. Something has happened in his or her life. Been delivered from some calamity. Maybe it's a political person who's been delivered. Maybe it's a military person. Maybe it's somebody just ordinary like you and I who have been delivered from very trying circumstances. Or maybe it's even someone who at that very moment is living in darkness, but they still experience the presence of God in them, and they are just thankful for that. Whatever the reason, it's a thanksgiving psalm, quite obviously. Here's the cool thing about this psalm. There are three actors in it. One is the author of the psalm. The other are people around him, perhaps family, perhaps a temple family. And then there are the voices of those who serve the temple officials. So there's the psalmist, there's the people gathered around him or her, and then there are the temple priests. So let's reenact this psalm together by embracing those three parts. Are you ready? So here's the psalmist's voice at the very beginning of the psalm. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His steadfast love endures forever. And then the psalmist says, let Israel say, or hey, y'all, join me in this. Come along with me. Let Israel say, his steadfast love endures forever. And the psalmist continues, open to me the gates of righteousness, that I may enter through them. So this tells us that the psalmist is at the temple. So the psalmist is so thankful for being delivered from difficult circumstances, he wants to go and praise God. So where is God? Oh, God's at the temple. So he goes to the temple, and he's at the gates. And he says, open for me the temple gates, that I may praise God. So now we hear from those in the temple in verse 20. This is the gate of the Lord. The righteous shall enter through it. And then the psalmist responds again. I thank you that you've answered me and have become my salvation. And then the people around him, maybe family members, chime in and they say, the stone that the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone. This is the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. We're so happy for our friend here. And then the temple officials chime in at verse 26. Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. We bless you from the house of the Lord. Here's where we find the tie-in to Palm Sunday. The officials say in verse 27, the Lord is God and he has given us light. Bind the festal procession with branches up to the horns of the altar. There it is, our connection to Palm Sunday. Palms at that time, branches were a symbol of victory, a symbol of triumph. And so the officials in the temple say, we are so happy for you. We're going to celebrate with you. Let's decorate the sanctuary with palm branches or with branches. If you go to Israel right now, you'll see many of the buildings have etchings of palm branches on them because they are signs of victory. They are signs of triumph. They are signs of righteousness. So the temple priests, the temple officials are helping this man, whoever wrote this psalm, to celebrate by bringing in signs of victory among them. And then the psalmist who wrote it ends exactly the way he or she began. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his steadfast love endures forever. So no, we don't have a QR code that we can use to figure out exactly what's happening in this psalm. But there are so many clues and so many references that we can pretty much sum up what's happening in this passage. And that's why Psalm 118 is almost always scheduled for Palm Sunday because of that one verse. We are here celebrating too. A triumphant entry into Jerusalem so many years ago, and we're waving our branches. We almost become part of the celebration that we find in Psalm 118. The Mark reading this morning that we embrace as the story that we visualize Jesus coming into Jerusalem on that day also could use a bit of a QR code, because there is a bit of confusion with the people who are welcoming him, and probably even with the disciples. Because while Jesus has acknowledged that he is Messiah to them, there still is not a complete understanding as to what that means. What does it mean for Jesus to be king? What does it mean for Jesus to be Messiah? And so there's three things I think to point out in this reading. The first is this, that when Jesus is entering the city, which city is he entering? Jerusalem, the royal city of David. What is in Jerusalem? It's the temple that represents God's very presence among them. And who built the temple? Solomon, David's son. In other words, there's some really cool stuff that happens in the city of David. If something holy, something righteous is going to happen, it's probably going to happen in the city. And look, here comes this Jesus fellow. Maybe something really cool is going to happen in the city once again. After all, it is David's royal city. After all, it is where the temple is. So maybe something really cool is going to happen. And again, Jesus has explained to the disciples that he is Messiah, even though there's not likely a complete understanding of what that means. So they're expecting, as they enter the royal city, David as king, David as Messiah, they're looking for likely another David, not Jesus' definition of what it means to be king. They want power. They want their foes to be vanquished. They want to be put in positions of power, so they're probably pretty jazzed about coming into this royal city, because really good stuff's going to happen for them. And then the people, while they haven't been told that Jesus is Messiah, there is an expectation something's going to happen here. We've heard about this Jesus. There's been miracles. There's been teaching with authority. Look at the people that are following him into the city, waving their palm branches. There's great anticipation that's happening here. Something cool is going to happen. What if there was a QR code? What if we used our theaters of the mind, our imaginations, and thought, there is a QR code somewhere in this scene with Jesus coming into the city, and if we could just find it and use our cell phones and frame it and push the button, we would really see what this day is all about. Look, it's right there. It's on the donkey. Let's take our phones and frame the QR code that's on the donkey and press the button. What does it say? What is the donkey? It would say a humble mode of transportation, unlike the kingly war horse. That's what the donkey is. A humble mode of transportation, unlike the kingly war horse. There it is. That's what this day is. Jesus has not come to be king in a worldly sense. That's too limiting. It's too limiting. It's too low. Jesus has come to be king in a different way. And the donkey helps us understand it. A humble animal. A servant coming into their midst. Not as a king that they would define, but a servant. Just a few nights before, we'll talk about this Monday, Thursday, Jesus was with his disciples and he washed their feet and he gave them a new commandment. Love one another as I have now just loved you. Servant ministry. Jesus has come as king. He's come as Messiah, but he's come as servant. Shouldn't be really a surprise. Jesus has talked about this with the disciples. There will be an arrest. There will be an execution. There will be a resurrection. Servant ministry, serving mankind. That's who Jesus has come to be. The type of Messiah, the type of king. Servant. Not what they're expecting. What does that say to us? Who does he call us to be? Jesus becomes Messiah in this way so that a new covenant can be established. There was the Mosaic Law. Jesus has come to fulfill the law. And in his birth, teachings, death, resurrection, we find a new way to be in relationship with God, a new covenant. And in that covenant, in that relationship, it opens up the floodgates for God's presence to come crashing down on us, to fill us with God's light, to give us security for today, to give us security for our future salvation. It gives us peace that transcends our difficult human circumstances. That's the kind of king, that's the kind of Messiah Jesus has come to be. Not to lord over people, but to serve humanity. And in that messiahship, in that kingship, we find our new covenant, our new way to be in relationship with God. In closing, do you know what QR means? QR, yes. Quick response. That's what the QR means in QR code. We're stepping into Holy Week today, my friends. Palm Sunday, Monday, Thursday, Good Friday, Easter worship. This week in particular, God is going to be calling on us as individuals. God will be calling on us as a church family. Let us provide a quick response. Let us raise our hands and say, yes, I'm ready for Holy Week. Providing a quick response on God's call in our lives. And may we be a people, individually and as a church family, where there is never a QR code needed. That when people see us, that they clearly see who we are. I am a Jesus follower. I am one who is following Jesus, the Messiah, the King. No QR code needed for that. We pray. Amen. Let's stand and sing.